Today, among other things, we're going to refine our notions of limit and of continuity. So, definition. Let P be a real number, let F be a function with domain E. Suppose that P is a limit point of E intersect the half open interval P minus 1 P. We say that F has a left limit L at P and write limit x goes to P minus Fx equals L if for every epsilon greater than 0, there is a delta greater than 0, such that whenever x is at E, and x is greater than p minus epsilon and less than p, then it holds that absolute value f of x minus l less than epsilon. So you see here we're using the standard idea of limit, but we're only looking at points x to the left of p. And now we'll talk about a right limit. Suppose p is a limit point of e intersect a half open interval p comma p plus 1. We say f has a right limit m at p and right limit x goes to p plus fx equals m if for every epsilon zero greater than 0. There is a delta greater than 0 such that whenever x is at e and x is bigger than p and less than p plus m delta, then it holds that absolute value f of x minus m is less than epsilon. So this is the same idea as above, except now we're looking at points x to the right of p. Example. Let f of x be 0 if x is less than or equal to 0, and sine 1 over x if x is bigger than 0, then the limit as x goes to 0 from the left of f of x is 0, which is pretty obvious, and the limit as x goes to 0 from the right of f of x does not exist. It's something we've discussed before. Definition. Let p be a real number. The function f with domain E has domain E. Suppose that p is a limit point of E intersect p minus 1p. And that p is an element of E. We say that f is left continuous at p if the limit as x goes to p minus of f of x equals f of p. Likewise, in case p is a limit point of E intersect p plus 1 and is also an element of E, we say that f is right continuous at p if the limit as x goes to p plus of f of x equals fp. So for left continuity, we'll look at points x to the left of p. For right continuity, we look at points x to the right of p. Example, define f at x equal 1 if x is less than 0, 0 if x equals 0, and x sine 1 over x if x is bigger than 0, then f is right continuous at 0 because the limit as x goes to 0 from the right of x sine 1 over x is 0, but it's not left continuous at 0 because the limit as x goes to 0 from the left of f is 1, but the value of the function at 0 is 0. Let f be a function with domain E, let p be an E, and assume that f is discontinuous at p. There are two ways in which this discontinuity can occur. One, if the limit as x goes to p minus fx and limit x goes to p plus fx both exist, but either do not equal each other or do not equal f at p, then we say that f has a discontinuity of the first kind at p, or sometimes we say a simple discontinuity or a jump discontinuity at p. Two, if either the limit as x goes to p from the left does not exist, or limit as x goes to p from the right does not exist, then we say that f has a discontinuity of the second kind at p. The figure illustrates both these ideas. Example, define f at x equals sine 1 over x if x is not 0 and 0 if x equals 0. Define gx to be equal 1 if x is positive, 0 if x equals 0, and minus 1 if x is negative, and define hx to be 1 if x is irrational and 0 if x is rational. H is the Dirichlet function, we've seen it before. F now has a discontinuity of the second kind at 0 because it oscillates on both sides. The left limit and the right limit don't exist at 0. G has a discontinuity of the first kind because the limit from the left is minus 1, the limit from the right is plus 1, and they disagree. And the function h has a discontinuity of the second kind at every point. Definition. Let f be a function whose domain contains an open interval ab. We say that f is increasing on ab if whenever s is less than t are elements of ab, then f of s is less than or equal to f of t. We say that f is decreasing on ab if whenever a is less than s is less than t less than b, it holds that f of s is bigger than or equal to t. The figure illustrates the idea. In both cases, we say the function is monotone or monotonic. Monotone and monotonic just mean the function either goes uphill or downhill. Proposition. Let f be a monotonic function on an open interval a, b, then all of the discontinuities of f are of the first kind. is enough to show that for the proof is enough to show that for each p and a b, the limit as x goes to p minus fx, the limit as x goes to p plus fx exist, because that rules out discontinuities of the second kind. So let us first assume that f is monotonically increasing. Fix p and a, b. If a is less than s is less than p, then f is, s is less than or equal to f at p. Therefore, capital S, which is the set of all fs for s between a and p, is bounded above. Let capital M be the least upper bound of capital S. Pick epsilon bigger than 0. By definition of least upper bound, there must be an fs in s such that fs minus m is less than epsilon. Let delta be p minus s. If p minus delta is less than p, t is less than p, then s is less than t is less than p. And f of s is less than or equal to f of t less than or equal to m, or absolute value ft minus m is less than epsilon. Thus, the limit as x goes to p from the left of fx exists and equals m. If we set little m equal to the infimum of the set capital T, which is a set of all ft for t bigger than p and less than b, then a similar argument shows that the limit as x goes to p from the right of fx exists and equals little m, and that completes the proof. And the argument in case f is monotonically decreasing is just the same. We won't go through that again. Corollary, let f be a monotonic function on an interval a, b, then f has at most countably many discontinuities. Assume for simplicity that f is monotonically increasing. If p is discontinuity, then the proposition tells us that the left limit of f is less than the right limit of f. Therefore, there is a rational number qp between the left limit and the right limit. Notice that different discontinuities will have different rational numbers associated to them, because if p hat is another discontinuity and p hat is less than p, then the limit is f of f from the left at p hat is less than qp, which is less than the limit of x goes to p hat from the right of f, which is less than or equal to the limit as x goes to p from the left of f, which is less than qp, which is less than the limit as x goes to the p from the right of f. Thus, we have exhibited a one-to-one function from the set of discontinuities of f into the set of rational numbers. It follows that the set of discontinuities is countable. The argument in case f is monotonically decreasing is just the same, and we omit the details. A continuous function f has the property that the inverse image under f of any open set is open. However, it is not in general true that the image under f of any open set is open. A counterexample is the function f of x equals x squared and the open set O equals minus 1, 1, whose image under f is the half open interval 0, 1, with closure on the left and open on the right. Example, consider the greatest integer function, f of x equals brackets x. This means that f of x equals the greatest integer, which is less than or equal to x. Then f is monotone increasing, and its discontinuities are of the first kind and are at the integers. This example illustrates the preceding proposition and corollary. Definition. Suppose f is a function on the open interval a, b, and that a is less than s is less than t is less than b implies fs strictly less than ft. Such a function is called strictly increasing, and strictly decreasing functions are defined similarly. Such functions are called strictly monotone. It is clear that a strictly increasing or decreasing function is one-to-one, hence has an inverse. Now we will prove theorem. Let f be a strictly monotone continuous function with domain a, b, then f inverse exists and is continuous. Proof. Assume without loss of generality that f is strictly monotone increasing. Let us extend f to the entire real line by defining fx equal fa plus x minus a if x is less than a as given on the interval x bigger than or equal to a, less than or equal to b, and equal to fb plus x minus b if x is greater than b. The figure illustrates how we're extending this function to the entire real line. It is easy to see this extended version of f is still continuous and still strictly increasing on all of R. That f inverse exists has already been discussed. The extended function f takes any open interval cd to the open interval fc, fd. Since any open set is a union of open intervals, we see that f takes any open set to an open set. In other words, f inverse takes open sets to open sets, but this just says that f inverse is continuous. Since the inverse of the extended function f is continuous, then so is the inverse of the original function f. That completes the proof. Example, the function fx equals e to the x. It is strictly increasing on the entire real line, so it has an inverse. Its inverse is, in fact, the natural logarithm function. Now take a look at the function gx equals x if x is less than or equal to minus 1, minus 1 if x is bigger than minus 1, less than 1, and x minus 2 if x is bigger than or equal to 1. This is monotone increasing. It is not strictly increasing, and it has no inverse because it is not 1 to 1, even though it is continuous. That's the end of today's lesson. Thank you.